Howdy, 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 everyone.
Welcome back to another episode of Texish, the show about some things Texas.
And some things not.
We've got a great episode in store.
Such a good episode.
All y'all today. But first, as always,
Tito's and Shiner, gonna be an all-nighter, and I just might find her at the Whataburger line. Dance halls and women, but man, I'm wishing that I was fishing by the river tonight in Texas.
Your favorite segment.
And ours.
Our not sponsors.
They do not sponsor us.
We're getting close to a little bit of money
getting
from
close
some
to
people.
Something.
But none of these people give us any money, any clout, any tags, anything. But we're going to shout them out anyway. It's our not sponsors.
Not sponsors.
Seth, who was our first not sponsor for
our
today's episode?
Our first not sponsor for today's episode is Heineken Zero.
Heineken Zero.
All the fat and none of the fun.
Heineken Zero.
When you want your breath to smell terrible and not be drunk at all.
Heineken Zero.
It tastes just as shitty as the original. It's Heineken Zero.
The official drink of the 12-step program.
Heineken Zero.
That's a good one.
Thanks,
is
it
zero alcohol or zero sugar or zero calories?
Zero fun, zero taste,
fun,
zero
anything. It's kind of like vegan meat. Just drink real beer. You know, just relapse. It's fine.
It's fine. Nobody cares.
Yeah. The 13th step is relapse. Everyone knows that.
Hey, crypto bro, nobody cares that your whole personality is being sober and having no real money.
I mean, honestly, I wish every person whose personality is being sober would just do a line of coke.
It's, I mean, honestly,
you were more fun when you were an addict. Everyone has that friend, right?
Everybody
there's
has
a
that
friend that it is way better that
where
you're
just
a Heineken
like,
Zero guy now. And then there's a friend that it's, I really wish that you would just hit a beer bong right now.
It's like, I can't handle you unless you're like two drinks in.
Yeah, and that's at the least. I want to get you to where it's conspiracy theories and nothing but. So let's get a little something in you.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Nobody watches The Hulk for Bruce Banner.
Exactly. Such a... Hey, no one really likes Tony Stark. They love Iron Man.
They like Iron Man.
Give us Iron
there
Man.
There you go.
Give us the Durs.
Give us the Durs.
We want the Durs.
So who's our second not sponsor?
Our second not sponsor for today's episode is Bass Pro Shop Hats.
Bass Pro Shop Hats.
Bass Pro Shop. More like Bass Bro Shop.
Bass Pro Shop Hats.
I don't get why all of you are ripped, but you are.
Bass Pro Shop Hats.
The official hat of Sigma Chi, Delta Thigh, and I Felt a Something.
Bass Pro Shop Hats.
I don't know frat names.
Making rednecks disappointed since 1999.
More like 2024.
Bass Pro Shop Hats.
I mean, seriously, it's Bass Bro Shop at this point.
Bass Bro Shop.
Yeah.
So how many people actually fish who wear that hat?
Look, and
like,
here's the,
like, actually.
And before the the comments are going to start.
Right. Well,
but
whatever.
As they start, let's point out right now, I don't care. It
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It
but
doesn't
as
matter.
As an entertainer.
Sure, whatever.
I'm an entertainer.
Whatever we are.
Oh, I'm an entertainment. As a comedian, if I see some jack dude with a dip in his lip running around Town Lake with the Pit Vipers on and a Bass Pro Shop hat, it's going to stick out because I've seen 30 of you today and none of you look like you've ever owned a rod, much less
a reel.
I don't even know if you got that hat at Bass Pro Shop. I don't even know if you know that Bass Pro Shop is a shop. I think you just think it's a hat brand.
Bass Pro Shop hats by Supreme.
But like, because they wear okay. This is how
this is, by the way, this is kind of new for me. I don't see
really?
This a lot. Yeah,
I
yeah.
see it everywhere.
Yeah. Now that you're in Fort Worth.
Now that I'm in Fort Worth with all the rich rednecks. Anyway,
rich
so
necks.
Yeah, rich necks. Interesting.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Red rich. Yeah. Blob. Anyway, but so see how I'm wearing my hat? This
yeah,
is normal.
Normally.
Right? This is how you wear a Bass Pro Shop hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're,
yeah. Oh, yeah, the Dale Earnhardt special?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not even Dale Earnhardt. It's like, am I a SoundCloud rapper or just a douche?
You just don't want to...
Which one is it?
You know what? I don't blame people for wearing their hat that far down over their eyes. That way they can't see the judgment coming in.
That's... I mean, you know, block out the
it's
judgment.
It's like blinders.
Yeah,
just
I'm
block
blocking
out
the haters.
Out.
I'm just, hey, what's up, guys? I'm at the Supreme
I feel
rally.
Like if you are the type of bro to wear a Bass Pro Shop hat, you are aware of how hard we're all judging you.
I'm not saying I can go 10 for 10, but I feel like if I lined up 10 bros wearing Bass Pro Shop hats, I could confidently say 9 out of 10 also own Icy White Nikes or Icy White Adidas.
Definitely.
Icy Whites no matter what.
Icy White something.
And I'll one tell of you them what, owns every, Yeezys. Every,
I'll go 10 out of 10. Every single one of those bros' skin color is Icy White.
Icy White. And one of them owns Yeezys because he hates the Jews. Do you want to hear about our once upon a time in Texas history?
Well timed.
Comedy.
Once upon a time.
Oh, wait, we changed it.
Oh, wait.
Once upon a time.
In Texas history.
Until people get feedback, we're going to get a punk on that.
When was it?
Once upon a time, it was 1908, and there was flood on the Biloxi River. Okay, I can't.
Okay, that was a lot. That was a lot.
A lot of people just turned this off. Anyway.
It's amazing you think that many people get this far.
Yeah, a lot of people get this far. I see the numbers. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
And so, once upon a time in Texas history, it was 1908, and there was a flood of epic proportions along the Biloxi River. Now,
hashtag epic flood.
Epic flood. And if you are privy to any Texas geography, or at least know where a lot of small towns are located, you know that the Biloxi runs near Glen Rose, Texas. And in 1908, this flood washed out the Biloxi River. And a little kid, about 2 days later, as the town was in shambles and picking up debris, he goes down on the riverbank and finds a giant imprint that no animal living could have left. And this was the first sign that there were dinosaur fossils in the Glen Rose area. A couple years go by, and all they know of is there's this one big giant fossilized footprint. They eventually find another one, and then finally in the 70s, a legitimate archaeologist comes out and does a dig, and that is when we find that there is a massive dinosaur boneyard outside of Glen Rose, Texas, along the Biloxi River, which proves that even dinosaurs love Texas.
Even dinosaurs.
And so, yeah, I also just love the image of little Jimmy running down the river and like falling into the biggest,
the biggest dinosaur footprint.
Well, I forgot the name of it, and we're not looking at our phones anymore.
No,
and so,
that's true.
The specific dinosaur that left that first footprint that they found in 1908 in Texas history was the second biggest meat-eating dinosaur that we know of.
Interesting.
So
it wasn't a T-Rex.
Well, T-Rex were small. Like, they were a smaller animal.
They were smaller animal?
Yeah, yeah, and their little arm.
Their little arms.
I got a big hand.
Cold pool, baby.
Oh, no. Deep cut.
Local cut. Oh, anyway. Man. So.
Shout out, Cold Pool.
Shouts out, Cold Pool. Yeah, that wasn't a dig. That was just, yeah. Anyway, so. Yeah, that just proves that everything is at least the second biggest in Texas.
Fair.
So, and now to this day, because of that finding, because of that flood in 1908, there is the Dinosaur Valley State Park in Glen Rose. You can go there. There's lots of dinosaur-themed attractions, but there's also the legitimate dig site where you can go. And they're still finding fossils today. So, they haven't even uncovered all of the fossils and bones that you can find in that area.
They're just going to be like a fossilized cowboy hat halfway down.
And they're going to be like, wait a second.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah. Well, then they're going to start finding just cowboy bones and be like, we should stop.
We should stop doing
like,
that.
Like, this is a little, they're going to find tattered.
Do you think the cavemen in Texas rode around on dinosaurs and did rodeo?
Duh.
Absolutely right.
Bull riding came from. And like, it was the exact same.
It used to be plesiosaur riding.
Yeah. And well, they were known for their caveman Texas accent.
Right.
So instead of being like, rrr, 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 they were like, rrr, 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 rrr.
Exactly. That, little known fact, Jeff Bridges modeled his accent in Hell or High Water off of the Texas caveman.
And kind of Bane.
How did you do it? How did you do it?
Can you imagine if
your brother,
you shot
people because it made him feel good.
You liked it. My partner had a family. Big one, too. Can you imagine if Jeff Bridges just reenacted the dude as that character?
That'd be hilarious.
Hey, man. Well, not even the voice. Just, hey, man, my...
Oh, you're doing the other way.
Hey, man, my partner had a family too, man.
And then you flip it to the dude.
Is like, actually...
Oh, really? I'm tied in the room together. Let's go bowling. Careful, man.
This any Coen Brothers fans out there? Also, imagine a Coen Brothers-Taylor Sheridan collab.
Collab? Taylor Sheridan would rip those two apart.
Yeah. Also,
he would have zero patience for
at that all. Bullshit. That would last for 5 seconds.
Although, interesting.
He'd say we're about not putting Brothers. Coulter Wall in this right. show. Never mind. I'm done.
Interesting Coen Brothers fact: they do not really give feedback to their actors. They give them a couple takes, and they don't really say much.
Do you think actors like that, or do you think they hate it? Because there are actors that are just dying for notes, affirmation, encouragement. Like,
it depends.
They
on
don't
the
care if it's
project.
Negative or positive feedback. Yeah. They just want to be paid attention.
Well, whenever you're acting, you need. That's why a director exists,
because they direct.
If you didn't need that, that job wouldn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, from the actor perspective, I think there's a level where you do appreciate just a little bit of like guidance,
just at least a yes,
because you as the actor are aware that this will end up on a screen.
Yeah.
And it sometimes is nice to have an idea that what you're doing is going to give the screen the right thing.
Yeah, well, you also, with the Coen brothers, you know they wrote it, too.
You know they wrote
so
it.
You know, so they like, have an idea of what this is supposed to look like. So it'd be nice to know, am I on the mark or off?
I'm just imagining being in No Country for Old Men, where a lot of the shots are just you, like, walking through the desert and being like, is it, how, what? Is this?
I like to imagine that Anton Chigurh was actually supposed to be boisterous and bodacious,
right?
And they just never and they gave just him never any said notes. I mean, he was supposed to be like, I am here to kill everybody, and instead he was just
that's
and he was so scary.
Yeah
He was so scary that the Coen brothers were like, oh,
he did it wrong, did it wrong. I think he'll kill us. What's up with that haircut?
I bet they were
like, why did he do that?
Where did he find that gun thing?
He just shows up.
He
with
shows
it.
Up and they're like, what the
man.
What is that?
Yeah, we've never seen that. Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I made it.
I found it in my backyard.
I've tested it on 5 people.
Howdy, 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 y'all. Normally, we bring you our not sponsors, but today we are excited to talk about an actual sponsor. Hydrate by Good Anya. You can go to goodanyaorganic.com to get Hydrate, which is an all-organic hydration powder supplement. It contains only natural organic ingredients and no sugar at all. It's made of lemon juice, coconut water, stevia, and organic sea minerals. This is the best hydration product I personally have ever used. I take it every single day when I wake up and after my sauna, and I feel incredible. Completely organic ingredients. A good friend of ours introduced us to this, and I can't go a day without it. So get yourself some Good Anya. Get yourself hydrated.
Look, it's not the 1920s anymore. Everybody has a business or a startup of some sort, whether it's a side project, whether you've ditched the silver spoon and are going all in on your side hustle to make it a full-blown business, or you have a small business already, but you've hit a plateau in growth and you're trying to find different ways to turn your marketing dollars into legitimate revenue. Well, Creators Collective is here for you. They are a full-service marketing agency offering marketing, branding, logo design, copy, video, social media management, anything custom to your business or your startup or your side hustle that will help you grow your bottom line, grow your brand reach, and just feel like you have the best dang company ever because your marketing assets are frankly better than everybody else in the game. So what you need to do right now is go to creatorscollective.us and contact them to schedule a call and find how Creators Collective can help you grow your business for the long term. That's Creators Collective. Schedule a call and just grow your freaking business with marketing that freaking works.
We're doing a lot of different impressions.
We're doing a lot of impressions.
Do you want to hear about the small town of the week?
Where is it?
Where is it?
Small town of the week. So our small town of the week is Quanah, Texas. There are about 1,000 people there, and Quanah Parker never went there.
Never.
Yes, I drove
through
it. Was it
named after him, or just
like
completely?
It was named for him.
Oh, for him.
So the verbiage that I found was it was named for him.
Okay.
And I drove there on my way to Amarillo the other day for Easter's, and...
Did you have diarrhea?
Don't you know I've had the diarrhea since Easter?
This is our movie quote movie quote Monday, everybody.
Why can't we ever have a salad or something? We get to make soup.
It's fantastic.
Anyway, so I'm driving through Amarillo for Easter's, and I says to myself, Quanah, Texas.
Clearly.
He must have been here.
Must have.
Quanah Parker must have spent some time here. And where it is, you're not far from Quanah, Oklahoma. You're not, it's not out of question to think, well, maybe this was the original Quanah settlement and he moved on somewhere else. No, it was, the town was founded in the 1900s.
Sure.
So after Quanah Parker's time, and they just decided to name it Quanah, misleading people like me to think there has to be a cabin somewhere that he slept in.
Specifically to mislead you.
Specifically to mislead me.
That's
they,
fair.
They, the, you know what? Don't go to Quanah. They are misleading people, and they're betrayers, and I'm pretty sure there's a government racket going on. So just don't even go there.
Speaking of government racket.
Yes.
Do you want to hear about our Texas badass of the week?
Badass.
The badass.
My badass had a family.
Yes, I would love to hear about her badass of the week.
All right. Throw yourself back to March 24th, 1851.
Okay.
This man is brought screaming into the world, James Stephen Hogg. Ooh. Jim Hogg.
Jim Hogg.
As he would be called. The first native-born Texan, born in Cherokee County, Texas. The first native-born Texas governor.
Okay.
Born Cherokee County, Texas.
Okay.
Grows up.
Jim Hogg.
Jim Hogg. Fantastic name, right?
Fantastic.
Fantastic name. Hopefully at one point in his life, he was the boss and they called him Boss Hogg.
Boss Hogg.
Just for the full circle moment.
Yeah.
So Boss Hogg.
He wasn't the big dog. He was the big hog.
Right. So Boss Hogg is born in Texas, and throughout his raising, you know, doing all the things little Texans do, he decides to start working as what's called a printer's devil. That's like his first job. Is
that's a
printer's
name.
Devil. That is what it is. It's essentially the assistant to the person who runs printing presses.
For and instead of calling him an apprentice or an assistant, they called him the devil.
Well, and I believe it's because you did a lot of the work at night. Like once every, like in the witching hour. Yeah, yeah. Because
everyone knows Satan and I thought, only comes at night.
He only comes out at night.
Yeah.
And I...
Total Wendigo.
Total Wendigo there.
Wendigo.
Wendigo. And I thought that was interesting just because our...
I miss you, man. It's good to see you. It's good to see you.
We don't get to see each other a lot anymore.
That's why there's so much banter.
I know, right? We
got to get it all out. Sorry. He's a devil.
So Pa worked in printing.
Okay.
Our grandpa worked in printing. Yeah. And I thought it was cool that there was a little bit of overlap. So Jim Hogg works in printing. He starts his own newspaper a couple times.
Okay.
Successful newspapers in Rusk, Texas.
Okay.
He then goes and gets an education in Louisiana, of all places, as a lawyer.
So he didn't get an education.
Didn't get an education. So he gets educated as a lawyer and is eventually voted Texas Attorney General.
Okay.
Right? As Attorney General, he makes it his mission to bust up the railroad monopoly.
Ah, all right.
So now we're tying into a little bit of
the
corruption.
Railroad.
The railroad.
The railroad. The railroad.
As we know, and as our longtime listeners know, the railroad
is really important.
Is really important.
It's vital to the survival of every town ever.
Vital to every single town formed before 1950.
Yes.
If you didn't have a railroad, you were...
And there, we highlighted some towns that were like, we don't need
it. We don't need it.
And guess what? No one lives there now.
So Jim Hogg kind of makes it his mission to make sure that there cannot be any private corruption. That is kind of his whole thing.
Because they were hogging all the power.
They were hogging all the power. And if somebody's going to hog the power,
it's going to be the
gonna
boss
be
hog.
Jim.
It's going to be Jim.
It's going to be Jim. Hog. So Jim does such a good job of making sure that that doesn't happen that he ends up running on a platform basically outlining a couple different things, but mainly the formation of what would be the Texas Railroad Commission.
Okay.
Along with some other things. The TRC. So he gets voted as the first native Texan governor in our state's history and does a fantastic job. He goes down as maybe one of the only governors to have like zero bad things said about him.
Really?
He was able to successfully break up a railroad monopoly. He was able to install the Texas Railroad Commission to ensure a fair and equal operation of the railroad and allow the state to like have actual say over where you build the railroad, how you do it, employment, all of those things. He also, and I thought this was really cool, he brought suit against John D. Rockefeller and Standard Oil and won.
What?
So at the
time, did he represent himself too?
Well, he represented Texas.
Texas.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a cool dude.
He whole hogged him.
He brought suit against John D. Rockefeller. Rockefeller was able to avoid the lawsuit himself.
Okay.
But like tons of C-level employees and executives were charged and convicted of racketeering, fixing, and all of these other things.
That's awesome.
So because of Jim Hogg, we have a more fair economy.
Nationwide,
but specifically in Texas. And he enforced the operation of... you know, competition of fair business practices and those things. because like we're free enterprise, mm-hmm. but to be a free market, you need competition.
Yeah.
And something that a lot of very big companies tend to do is try and squash
most of them.
And I totally understand that's, you know, fair play.
Yeah.
But what they do a lot of times is collude, price mm-hmm. fix, and semi-illegal things to make sure that they stay on top.
Completely illegal things
to make sure that they stay on mm-hmm. top. So yeah. Salute to you, Boss Hog.
Boss Hog. Did they call him Boss Hog, or are we now?
We're now calling him Boss Hog.
Why is this guy not talked about
as much?
As much.
Well, as with all things, because he was effective and has no real dark side.
And no real dark side that we know of.
That we know. I mean, it was a different time. He could have been doing God knows what.
Well, I mean, you know, standards, right?
He was a printer's devil, so.
He was the devil.
He was a Satan worshiper.
But he came back from that life.
He did come back from that,
He wasn't an acting Satan worshiper and governor. He was former Satan worshiper.
Yeah.
Jim the Boss Hog.
Former
governor and former Satanist, Jim the Boss Hog. Welcome to the whole Hog.
Best
barbecue.
Governor of Texas. I mean, the other interesting thing I thought, and this is completely irrelevant to everything other than I thought it was cool, he died the same month he was born, just a few days apart in 1906. So he also didn't really live that long. He was like, 55 whenever he died. So he accomplished
a crap ton. That was early 1900s, 80.
Yeah, which were still, you know.
If you were 50 before 1970, you were old.
You were old as hell, yeah.
Think about it. I mean, even to this day, but back then, if you were 50, you were 15 years away from retirement.
Yeah.
That's not that long.
I mean, man, there's some pictures floating around of like children smoking and drinking.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, that makes sense.
But then you have these 90-year-old broads that are like, I drink whiskey and Dr. Pepper every day. That's the first thing I do. And that's
just
why I'm
spitting in Peter Attia's face.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. So
whatever, stupid nerd.
Nerd. Freaking, he was sitting right there.
I know, right?
A couple days ago, just nerd seat.
Just
over
nerd
there.
Sit.
Just, oh, I'm Peter. Attia.
I can smell the longevity.
Yeah. Here, you want to hear my Peter? I want to do an impressions.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do the Peter Attia impression.
If you don't have the proper template for swimming that long, I just don't see how you can do it. We're out to lunch.
Yeah.
Was that good?
That was good.
Pretty good.
And remind me, who was he interviewing? Who was interviewing him?
Chris Williams.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to see my Chris?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Down the barrel. Biggest podcast in the world. And on that note, it's time for Texas Update.
In a bid for Teacher of the Year, a substitute teacher in Mesquite, Texas, has been arrested for allegedly allowing students to fight each other in the classroom. When asked for comment, all Ms. Garcia would say is, the first rule of Fight Kid is you don't talk about Fight Kid.
In an effort to be more progressive, hit TV show Ted Lasso featured a lesbian kissing scene between main character Keeley Jones and her sexy boss, Jack. Proving once again that it's in fact true. All hot chicks are lesbians, and it's incredibly amazing when they make out.
Governor Greg Abbott is in hot water after declaring his intent to pardon a man who shot a BLM protester. Can't wait to see what happens next on this episode of Law & Order Wheelchair Justice.
Earlier this week, Buzz McAllister lookalike Elon Musk had to call off the launch of a SpaceX rocket from the southern tip of Texas. Said Musk, it's the greatest rocket ever built, but needs to look more like a penis.
Lobo, a West Texas ghost town, has been put up for sale by its German owners. Said all the people in California thinking about moving here, how haunted is it?
Longhorns quarterback Quinn Ewers, who looks like a sober Coe Wetzel, edged out freshman Arch Manning for the starting job at UT. And as punishment, the Manning family will force Arch to wear a Chargers jersey every day for a year. It'll be better in the future.
Still working, still shaking out some kinks.
Still shaking out.
So quick lasso recap.
Lasso recap.
Lasso cap.
Lasso cap.
No cap, all lasso.
I will, loving this season so mm-hmm. far. I've read some reviews as well. I try not to let reviews inform my opinion.
Because I've read no reviews. Do the reviews say?
Most are on the same page as us.
Sure.
Love this show so much. It actually can do no wrong.
True.
But here's some things that I see
that are just like,
it's falling prey to the fact that it had the greatest first season
of any show
of
ever.
All time. And honestly, I thought the second season was just as good.
Second season was on rewatch.
I'm one of the people that thought the second season was fantastic.
Second season was really good. On rewatch, it's better than the first time I watched it.
And now everyone is seeing what we've seen is there are too many stories going on.
Too many storylines.
for it to real, like, they're doing it and they're pulling it off, but it's affecting a little bit of the quality, just a little bit.
It really is.
Because I want to point to the second episode.
Yeah.
Classic Ted Lasso.
Classic.
Joke after joke after joke after joke.
Really humming, really working.
And they were mostly in the clubhouse the whole time. Mm-hmm. There were not too many stories they were jumping back and forth from. Whereas this last episode, episode five. Yeah. So we're actually not at the halfway point because there's 12.
No, there's 12, yeah.
Sixth episode comes out tomorrow. So if you're listening right now, we're not recapping episode six. We're just right up to episode five.
There you go.
Episode five, we ran into, there's too many storylines going on.
Yes, there are.
And I made the joke about it in Texas Update. I'm just going to, because I texted you this. I don't care. I really don't. But yeah. I do think it's funny that the progressive writers are like, well, clearly we're going to have a gay storyline and a lesbian storyline because we're progressive. And I'm like, well, you're just reinforcing toxic masculinity because you're showing that gay people aren't welcome in locker rooms or in sports, and that it's hot as hell when bi-curious chicks make out. So
true.
In reality, you're just as toxic as the people you're trying to talk to right now. Anyway,
so, side note.
I thought that was funny.
I thought it
was my thought fair. On that is interesting.
Here is with the Colin storyline. Mm-hmm. What I think they're setting up is like a coming out where he's fully accepted. That's what I feel like they're setting
up. It would be so out of line with the locker room Ted has built for it to be anything but, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I do want to go back to in episode five, something happens that's kind of a big deal that I predicted in some ways.
Yeah.
Zava gone. Zava's out.
And they did it in a way that I didn't actually see. I didn't think it would happen that way.
Yeah.
Clearly, he's going to be playing for West Ham in two episodes.
Clearly.
But that'll be fine.
That'll be fine, yeah.
I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad they got rid of him now. I didn't like the Zava storyline.
No, it I understand the purpose of it, but it was a little clunky.
Yeah, and just like, okay, so he's here and he's doing everything, but this isn't really how Ted coaches, but he wants
but
to win.
But he's going along with it.
Because he's apparently dealing with so much other stuff that he can't coach
at
all. And now that he's gone, he gives one of the best speeches of the show. Like, most of the reviews I read for episode five, that ending speech saved the season.
Like, honestly.
From a critique standpoint.
It saved the main storyline.
Liquid Death.
Because they were really leaning on their B, C, and D storylines.
Yeah.
To their detriment.
Yeah, honestly.
And that little speech brings back Ted into the fold. Because Ted was so far behind everybody. Yeah. It is as though the writers stopped caring about him. To the extent that I wondered if they couldn't get Jason to England.
Yeah.
Until a certain point. So they had to shoot a lot of stuff without him.
Because he is dealing with some things. And a hot nanny. Anyway. Jokes! We're joking!
We're jokes!
Joking!
Our pronouns are cum-edian.
Have you been sitting on that, or did that just come out?
That just came out.
Nice. I thought, did Jason say, I want...
And it's possible.
More focus on these other storylines.
Well, and the interesting thing is, like, so the main creator of the show is the guy who created Scrubs, who did Cougar Town, who's doing a couple other shows. Like,
he's got hits.
One of the most amazing comedy writers of all time who weaves in heartfelt storylines better than anybody else. Like, you go back to Scrubs... Constantly funny, never not funny.
Yeah.
Also very dramatic and hard hitting when it needs to be. Mm-hmm. I've cried during episodes of Scrubs. Like, there are some moments that are truly heartfelt and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done the same thing with Ted Lasso here. So he has the ability to make sure that those things are woven in appropriately.
Yeah.
And I think we just come back to this. We keep coming back to the same thing. It suffers from the power of the characters.
Yeah.
In that each one has an interesting storyline. Each one has their own show.
And we love every single character.
There's not a character on this show.
Yeah. Even Colin. Like, Colin coming out of nowhere with his own storyline. Yeah. No one kicks back against it. We love everyone. So it's, I want to see this unfold. Yeah. But it is not taking away, but it's distracting from the power of the main storyline. To the point that I almost don't know what the main story is now.
Right.
It seems like the main arc is redemption for Nate and Richmond at least being somewhere near the top.
At least being some
form
of... Because they have to come back from... And we both knew this would happen where Zava would leave and they would suffer.
Yeah. Well, they've already suffered. Right. So now the question is, do they suffer more, or is it a quick turnaround because Jamie's been training with Roy? That's the one storyline we're not getting enough of, is them two working together.
And it's the one that we want. So my guess is episode 6 is a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what's been lacking. And that will tie the clubhouse back into it. I love everything they're doing, truly.
Yeah.
Even down to the thing with Keely and Jack. I thought that was interesting, if nothing else.
And predictable.
And predictable. That here's the thing, those two characters have the best on-screen chemistry of anybody on the show.
It was awesome.
I'm not, I am, but I know it's great.
It's toxic.
I mean, hey man, I just really love two women who love each other and work hard with goats. That's you know, sheep.
Yeah, sheep. Goats.
Sheep. That was a lamb. Yeah. It was a lamb.
Is a lamb a goat?
A lamb is a sheep. It's a baby sheep.
And a sheep is not a goat.
And a sheep is not a goat.
All right, cool.
Two different animals.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it. Anyway, so that happened.
Yeah. What else we missing?
Speech was great. I said it in the first Lasso recap, and I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
Lasso will father Hannah Waddingham / Rebecca's baby.
I hope so.
I think that's going to happen.
Be cool.
There's too much.
Yeah.
There's too much kindred spiritness while also both are dealing with some stuff. So we're building to an episode 7 or 8 hot tension field. We shouldn't do this, but we're doing it. Office sex scene.
I mean, that'd be great. I would love that. That would make me really happy.
Like Ted's going to snap and it's just going to be just rawr, you know?
I hope so.
And then she will be pregnant.
That is the hope. And we have a call from the doctor where like she can't.
But we also don't know what she's. We don't know what he said.
We don't know what he said.
Because part of me thinks, what if he told her she is pregnant?
Yeah, fair. That would be interesting.
I don't think it's very possible, but I'm also looking at it.
That's something I didn't think about.
I'm looking at it from we have 7 episodes left.
Yeah.
She either has to have sex and be pregnant in the next 2 or.
Yeah, something has to happen.
And there's something going on there.
Yeah, exactly. We also have the dynamic of if her and Ted do end up together, he already has a kid. So that would be what that is. She would have a family. Yeah.
So. Henry, right? Is that his name?
Yeah. Henry. Ted Lasso.
So that's going on. We've already done our predictions. What else from episode 5 stuck out to you, or what else did you really like about it?
I actually really enjoyed Nate's storyline in that one.
Yeah.
They wove that pretty well. I didn't love the back and forth with him and the restaurant girl whose name is escaping me right now.
I don't think she has a name.
She has a name.
She does?
Yeah.
I thought women in Hollywood didn't get names.
No, they just don't talk to each other on screen.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. anyway.
Comedy podcast,
everybody. It was cute whenever he gets the baklava and he's like, I can't eat it all.
That's very cute. And the right time to start. We're seeing these glimmers of Nate doesn't like who he's becoming. Exactly. This isn't Nate. And he knows it.
It's very obvious.
Yeah. Like, and I appreciate her character not playing into it. I appreciate her just.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. She doesn't care, which is good.
And she never has.
Yeah.
And now she's finally warming up a little bit.
Was it this episode where Nate says something to Richard Mannion and he says, thanks, Richard. And he says, Mr. Mannion.
Was it the episode right before.
Okay. Anyway.
Mr. Mannion. And then at the bar later, call me Richard.
We've got Nate seeing him for who he is.
Yeah.
We've got Nate having gone on a date with a model and seen what that is.
Yeah.
Maybe he's starting to like, and we've seen the colors of it. Like he wants to tell Ted sorry. He really wants to. So we'll see. I don't know.
We'll see where that goes.
Yeah. There's still a lot of room.
Yeah. Tons of room. I hope there's another Christmas episode. But
I would love another Christmas episode. That was fantastic.
Based on episode 5, have any of your predictions changed? Or are they pretty much the same?
They're pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Because like so far, so far I've been right.
Good point.
So all my predictions from the former episode, I'm going to keep. I'm not going to change any of them offhand. I am going to say that there's a big moment with Jamie and Keely that is pivotal for both characters.
Yes. Do you think Roy and her get back together, or is that done?
I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
I really do. Mm-hmm. I don't think they get back together.
Roy and Beard end up together.
Right. I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah.
They're a fun couple.
They are.
Yeah,
they
really are. I want the Roy Beard storyline.
I watched it. Yeah. Pretty good.
One question.
Why is it called Hooters? What was your favorite? What was the funniest part?
Oh, the funniest part of this episode. For me, the funniest part of this episode was Keeley's friend's rage quit. Where that's after she so gets fired, good. I really so I enjoyed the moment where she's trying to take people with her and she won't. And there's the flip where he's like, "No, I'm good." And he's like, "No, I'll come." And she's like, "No, I don't want you.
I don't want you." Yeah. Just the suck my dick.
And then the follow up with that, I died whenever they walk into the room and the lamb is crapped all over the conference room.
Gotta love a callback.
I love the callback too, and the from Keeley. It's a good reminder to cancel her security pass, which is such a like corporate, such a great little offhand.
Can appreciate that joke.
So wonderful. Yeah. That's such a joke I would love.
I loved it.
Anyway, what about you?
Mine was almost that one, but the build of when Trent Crim is about to give him advice and Ted says, "Are you like the nature documentarian that is watching a little monkey get attacked but won't do anything to help it? It's hurting." And then he starts doing the and then Beard is the way he's wiping his eye. And I didn't see it coming, but then Roy like the way they each acted like a monkey was perfect. And I just appreciated that entire bit. So 100%. So good.
All right.
Well, that's right, LassoCast. We got to get on to another thing. Merch in the store. Check it out.
Texas Va.
It's at texaspod.com. It'll pop up. As soon as you go there, go buy some merch, share this episode, review it, all the stuff. Check out some Liquid Death also if you would like to. I really enjoy it. I've been burping all episode. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye, y'all.